Welcome to Life and Love in the Q, a podcast for the LGBTQIA2S+ community, those who support them, and those who just want to learn more.
Together we share the stories and the science of the space and grace to live life in full color.
I'm Jillian Abbey, proud lesbian and mother, Hay House author, queer blogger, and TikTok something or other.
And I'm Trisha Peterson. I'm an LGBTQ ally, proud mom of six, professor and researcher of identity and the social narratives that impact the way we live and love.
So open your mind, open your heart, and welcome to Life and Love in the Q. Hello, Dr. Trisha. How's it going?
Very good, Perfectly Queer Jill. How are you?
I'm so glad that you called me Perfectly Queer Jill, because I was hoping that today we could talk about one of my favorite topics. No, not queerness, perfectionism. Because you know what? There's a whole lot to say about it. And I made a mistake related to it recently. And so I thought we could talk about it.
Ooh, yeah, let's do.
Okay.
I have lots to say.
Oh, yes. I have no doubt. And I love hearing your feedback. Okay, so I was recording a podcast with a person who is well known in their industry. I was stoked that I got invited on their podcast, sitting there watching the Zoom wheel, waiting for the host to let me in. And the next thing I know, I have an email pop up from the person's assistant that says, "Oh my gosh, we double booked. So sorry, we need to cancel." Okay, fine. So we canceled, we rescheduled the podcast. And so I finally got to sit down with this person. And as soon as the camera came on, they're like, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I missed the last one." And I said, "Oh no, it's no big deal. We rescheduled, it's fine." No. "I'm so sorry. That was so unprofessional of me." And I said, "Listen, you know what? It's really not a big deal. I mean, you have double the kids that I have. You have 327 times the businesses that I have." And I she has a million different businesses. And I said, "Really, you know what?" Like, and then the words exited my mouth and I immediately regretted them. I said, "I don't know how you do it all."
Vomit.
Yes. It is the phrase that I hear that people say to me sometimes. And I'm like, "Look at my hair today. Look at my outfit. What do you mean? How do I do it all? I feel like I just came off the cast of Survivor. Like, can you smell me right now? I don't know." But it's interesting to me how we have perceptions of people, that somehow there are people out there who are doing it all or who are keeping it all together. And so I would just like to bust apart that myth today for anyone out there who thinks that anybody has it all together.
Yeah. So first of all, there is a researcher who studied mothers and their beliefs about perfectionism. She did this amazing study. I think 15,000 women participated. And what her final research was is that even though they know there is no such thing as the perfect mother, 87% of women still feel like they are not perfect enough to be counted as a good mother. So 87% of women who identify as mothers are walking around feeling like they're just not measuring up, even though they know on a very conscious level that the perfect mother is a myth. They are still measuring themselves as not good enough. That feels like a lot of pressure, a lot of people who don't feel like they're good enough in this world.
Absolutely. And that's what I did to this person as well, is that I thought, well, they must have it all together. I've seen their Instagram. Life looks perfect. And yet I know, my rational mind knows, that nobody has it all together. Nobody has it perfect. And so the fact that I was slathering her in that belief is like, ugh, I'm buying into this thing that I know is not true.
Yeah. When we were not super newly married, because I had all six of my kids, but to me, I felt so much younger than I am now. We went to visit a friend and we were staying at her house, and she was asking me to help her rearrange her furniture. She didn't have a ton of money to go and buy like new furniture, but I was really, really good at rearranging spaces so that just like the energy flow moved a little bit differently. So I was really good at shopping your own house to redecorate your house. So I was helping her and we got done at the end of the weekend. And she said, you know, when I grow up, I want to be Trisha Peterson. And I went back to my little house and kind of cried a little bit thinking, I don't even want to be Trisha Peterson. Like I'm putting so much pressure on myself. I would never expect or even wish somebody to put this much pressure on themselves. So it's that I didn't love my life, but I was so sad that I had given off this impression that somebody would honestly think I had it all together, right? Like I had it all figured out.
Yeah.
And I knew I didn't. And just like even knowing, and she meant it like she's a sweet, wonderful person. I love her dearly. So she meant it as like, you know, truly a compliment, like her looking at me thinking I really have it all together. But I knew I didn't. I knew I was failing on lots of fronts, or I thought I was failing on lots of fronts.
Right.
So I don't know what the moral of that story is. Is it that maybe we're not giving ourselves enough credit? So maybe we are actually doing better than we think we are, right? Or is it that people see us as perfect and we can't actually see where other people feel insecure? Like maybe it's a little of both.
Well, and I think too, in that story, so you have this person who's looking at you saying, wow, I wish I could do that. I want to be that person. And going back to the 70-30 discussion we had, instead of focusing on the 70% of this is, these are all the amazing things that I do accomplish, we flip to the other side, which may not be in 30%. We may have a different imbalance here of like, what am I messing up on? Or what is the dark side of this that they don't know that I feel shame around or I feel embarrassed of? I remember going to one of my cousin's house one time and, you know, she was a mom as well. And her home was spotless. She was excellent at hosting. The food was always perfect. The kids were always having fun. There was always some great cocktail made. Everything was clean throughout the entire party. Like if somebody put down a fork, that fork was gone and put away and we don't know where it went. We may never find it again. And I remember telling her at the end of the evening, like, gosh, I love how clean your home is. I love how it smells so wonderful. I'm so impressed by your hosting skills. I really wish I had those skills. And then she said, Jill, it's a compulsion. And she said, I wish I wasn't this person. And I just about fell over because I didn't really at all realize the stress and pressure. I didn't realize what she was feeling inside while we're having this party and get together and everyone's having fun. The amount of stress and pressure she was putting on herself because that errant fork was sitting on the countertop that she quickly had to clean up before anyone would see. Like the amount of work and stress and pressure that went into maintaining that perfect appearance, she's like, she basically said, like, this is not a healthy thing. And I wish this wasn't a part of me. And that really shifted things for me. And that maybe what we think we want is not actually what we want.
Well, I kind of love that she actually said something. Like, I'm thinking of that friend of mine. Like, I wonder what she would have, how much pressure I might have alleviated off of her to actually say to her face, like, I don't even want to be Trisha Peterson. You have no idea the amount of pressure I put myself on to exactly like what you were saying, to have this perfectly coiffed porch. I mean, I used to decorate my porch for every freaking season, every holiday. And it was brand new stuff every time in like this perfectly put together house. And to the outside, it looked wonderful. But to me, anything under that was showing the world that I was a failure. Mm. And so the pressure, like, I wonder exactly kind of what you're saying. I wonder if we realize the pressure that these people are putting on themselves, if we would still envy them or try to measure ourselves up against them. And when I say them, I'm going to say me. I remember teaching a class on family history at church one time, and I really loved family history for a really long time. And I was also a scrapbooker for 125 years, I think.
Approximately.
How many years worth of scrapbooks I have. Actually, if you think about six kids times 10 years, like Yeah, I scrapbooked 60 years of life. But anyway.
Wait, you mean you made it past the first child? Because I thought we only celebrate the first child, and by the second one, we're like, eh, I'm tired.
Jill, we have, each one of my kids has at least 8 12 by 12 bound scrapbooks. And then our family probably, so, oh my hell, this is bad. So this is Trisha's scrapbook story. So I would scrapbook, let's say it was Christmas. I would scrapbook Christmas for all 6 kids and the family album. So one Christmas got 7 spreads. So wow, yes.
Before the next Christmas?
Oh yeah. Like, again, the Trisha pressure.
Yeah.
That would happen before the next holiday.
Mm.
And I, for a long time, well, the whole 10 years I lived in Minnesota, I was current on my scrapbooks for 6 kids. Anyway, so yes, I have scrapbooked for 125 freaking years. And now I can't remember what I was going to say with that story.
I don't know either, except I can think of another story. Also, I love all these. Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I know. So I was teaching this family history lesson, and I brought in some of the scrapbooks, and I brought in some of our cookbooks, and I brought in some other things that I had done with family history. And I said, here's the thing, though. This is what I did because I loved it. This is not your rule. This is not your expectation. And I think, but it's so easy for us to, again, measure, like you're saying, you mean you scrapbooked more than the first child beyond the first year? So scrapbooking wasn't like your priority. If you're going to measure yourself against me, then yeah, you kind of look like a loser, Jill. What were you doing for the past 10 years?
My children are, they're going to have no recollection of their childhood because I'm like, I don't even have pictures printed. They're all on my phone.
Well, and anyway, and iPhones changed the world a little bit. So, but anyway, I think that that's the thing is like we compare ourselves. It's what they always say about social media. We compare our lack against somebody else's strength.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't realize that there's a trade-off with everybody happening.
Definitely. Yeah, I remember attending a graduation actually where Katie Couric was the commencement speaker. It was really cool.
Oh, that's really cool.
And they actually took some questions from the audience. And one of the questions to her was, how do you balance work and your life? And, you know, it's graduation, everyone is happy, they're all proud, we're all celebrating. And she said, can we stop asking this terrible question? Which I thought, oh my gosh, to be the person that asked that question, I'd be so embarrassed. But also, I can understand why that was her answer. And she said, there is no such thing as balancing work and life. There is nobody who has this figured out. Also, we don't usually ask this question of men. It's always asked of women.
I actually saw something written about that the other day, that there's like 10 questions that we ask women consistently that men never get asked.
Oh my gosh, I'd love to read that list. But yeah, Again, that was just one of those moments that will always stick out in my mind because, again, Katie Couric, she was like America's news sweetheart. She's got it all together. And here she's saying, stop it. Stop pretending like I have it all together. Stop pretending like anybody has it all together. Nobody has it all together.
You know, I'm thinking about, so I had 2 days last week that I had to be 100% on. I was meeting with lots of different people. I was speaking at a couple of different classrooms, and I was still needing to be kind of the professor for my students here in Texas. And I was actually thinking about this a couple of days ago because it took me, like, I knew those 2 days were going to happen, right? So I perfectly guarded myself the day before each of those days. So I had to be on 100% on Tuesday and 100% on Friday. So on Monday, I slowed the pace of my life down a ton. I spent extra time just reading and studying my notes and just really centering myself. And I did the same thing on Thursday. So it looked like I 100% rocked Tuesday and Friday. But the reason I 100% rocked it is because I slowed down Monday and Thursday.
Hmm.
I'm even kind of thinking of you and I'm wondering, you did your big bookstore event. With a ton of people. It's so cool, right? But my guess is that then you also had maybe a day that you needed to just zone right out and put your legs up the wall and not talk to anybody and just rest.
It was the most busy and unbusy week I've ever had. Yeah. And I'm kind of glad it was that way. Originally, you know, in my mind, I thought, okay, this is book launch week. We need to schedule every hour. I should be doing talks every single day and bookstore signings and events every single day. And really, when it came down to it, there weren't actually that many big things on my calendar. And I'm so glad because when you have to show up in a major way for those big moments, the amount of time that it takes to get yourself to a space where you're like, okay, I can show up as my full self right now. I feel good showing up to this right now. That took a lot of downtime. It took a lot of sitting out by the pool or just digging my hands in the dirt in the yard and not really having to do anything, just kind of be a human.
I feel like I love that more than I can even put words to, because I feel like that maybe that's why we get so tired when we're sucked into that comparisonitis, because like I might compare myself to you and, oh, I haven't written my book yet, so I'm such a failure. And, oh, I have another friend who has been able to stay active at the gym all through her family life transitions, and I just can't seem to find my motivation to get back to the gym. So I'm comparing myself to her, and like it's actually not even that we're comparing ourselves to any one real human being, but like I said earlier, we're looking at everybody's strong suits and comparing ourselves to that. So I can easily look like a failure if I'm not centered on what am I doing and how am I being in this life. I taught last week to a couple of students or to a couple of different classes, and we were talking about when we're in our doing self, it's really easy to count all the things that we're not doing. But if we look at what we really value and who we want to be in this world, then it's very easy to look at our traits and the way we're living in our lives in a much more graceful way. But if we're looking at everything that we do, then we automatically count what we don't do.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing that my life coach, Gina Giraldi, who I've mentioned before, has really been helping me focus on, especially over the past few weeks, is instead of focusing on what I'm not doing, celebrate the wins. Like, what did you do that you're proud of? And it's almost one of those things. It's like the friend who's looking at you and what would they say to you? What do they love about what you're doing? What are they impressed by? Take a moment and just like toot your own little horn and say, what did I do today that was really I'm proud of? Like, I enjoyed that. I accomplished that. Whatever. And again, not that every day or every week even has to be a what did I accomplish? But I very easily brush all of those things to the side to focus on what didn't get crossed off my list as opposed to what did.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So that's kind of my, I guess, whole takeaway from this and what I am still working on going forward is to just celebrate the wins and really kind of sit in them and love them and love that part of me. And, you know, the other stuff will get done. Shampooing my hair. Yeah, someday. There's a Thursday for that out there somewhere. Until then, dry shampoo. I don't know.
I love that. I actually have a friend that I was telling, because I've actually done that before, that I have a got it done list. So instead of a to-do list, I have a got done list. And Ooh. She said, oh, you have a ta-da list.
Ta-da! To do and ta-da. I love it.
I loved it when she told me that she would, and that's kind of the tone of voice that she uses when she talks to me. She's like my cheerleader, but she's like, you've got a ta-da list.
It's awesome. All right. So
we can all have ta-da lists.
We can all have ta-da lists. Nobody is perfect. We are all trying our hardest. And for the friends who seem like they have it all together, just support them extra. Because
give them permission to take some of the stress off of them. Like if you're looking at someone and you're saying, God, I don't know how you do it all. There's a freaking good chance that that person is near a burnout. And so maybe give them permission to not do it all. So instead of praising the do it all, go ahead and say, what weakness do you have that maybe I can love you with?
I don't know. What do you need right now?
What do you need?
I feel like that's the question that cracks some people open. It's like, what do you need right now? And then we sit with that and it's like, I need a nap and a sandwich. I don't know. Different for everyone.
Oh my gosh. I need sleep is what mine would have been all those years ago.
Yeah.
There were times I was waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and going to bed at midnight just to get everything done that everybody thought was so amazing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Mama needs sleep.
Mama needs a rest. She was not as cool as everybody thought she was.
All right. So this is just permission to everyone to be more loving to ourselves and to those around us, even those who seem like they have it all together. They need a lifeline too sometimes.
Amen. And sister, have a great week.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Life and Love in the Queue. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. And if you have questions, contact us at lifeandloveintheque@gmail.com. Until next time, Queue Crew.